Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing, everybody, and welcome to the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Tonight we are simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday night party. If you're on Facebook, if you're on Twitter, please join in. Patty J. Smith will be joining us a little later in the broadcast at about the 15-minute mark into the broadcast. Before then, we have a lot to go over, as there are a lot of new things going on in the Helping Hands Press author community. Just an overview before we get into the evening prayer. There's a couple new releases, some coming soon. We have a bunch of reading samples, blog posts, very emotional blog posts by Pam Horner later in the evening, and some other interesting stuff. Let's see if the prayer came up. Usually at 8 o'clock, the first thing that comes up is a prayer, and Patty J. Smith was nice enough to provide the prayer this evening. Let's see if I have it. Maybe I don't. Okay, we're just going to wait for Facebook to come on here. Real quick, yesterday I had Joseph Max Lewis. Now here's the prayer. Joseph Max Lewis was on a show yesterday. We'll get into that in a minute. Everybody, start the prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for the gift of friendship. The friendships we have here now, as well as in our personal lives. We know that their love and support is an integral part of our success, and help us move forward when we become discouraged. Father, the gift is a great one, beyond measure, and may we always return the love and support they so unselfishly give us. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very much, Patty, for sharing that prayer. It was very nice of you. We want to send out our condolences to Sue Badeau and her family, as her grandson passed away earlier in the week. It's been on Facebook and Twitter. There was a GoFundMe campaign. You can go to Sue's Facebook or Twitter to get involved in that if you want. Okay, as far as this evening goes, well, before we bring Patty J. Smith in with us in a little bit, you can go, if you're on the sidebar, you can see that there is a link for the Helping Hands Press blog right below the website there. You can either go to the website, and the website will get you to the blog, or just go to the blog. A lot of what I'm discussing will be there. Larry Peterson, there at 8:05, there's going to be a post popping up for Larry Peterson. He's had over 50 reviews of the Priests and the Peaches. Now, we had Larry here on the show the last Thursday night party, and we were discussing that at length. You can see some of the reviews that folks have put up, and also be able to click on a link to go there to see the rest. It's going to be a new release, the Sunrise in Sweetland author team, which is Ann Baxter Campbell. She was the editor also. Ann Baxter Campbell, Sue Badeau, Peggy Bland Pfeiffer, Diane Huff Pitts, and June Foster. They compromised the team of Sunrise in Sweetland. New release of the paperback. You can get it on Amazon tonight, and I'm going to have to guess after the weekend you'll be able to get it at any fine retailers where they sell amazing paperbacks. So Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million, Pals, any of those kind of places a little bit later on, beginning of next week. There's going to be a little blurb about Tony Hilling. He is going to be releasing the Voice of Aedes Stamen. Volume 7 is the next one in the series. The Council of 12, that'll be released on the next Thursday night party on July 28th. This evening, you get to see the cover and read the synopsis. During the week next week, a reading sample will be up for Tony. You'll be able to take a look at that. It's going to be a reading sample tonight from William David Spencer for his Wrestling Two Worlds novel. That is a young adult inspirational suspense novel. Has international elements into it. Very interesting. Well, Joseph Maxwell, he was on the Blog Talk show yesterday. We were discussing the Diaries of Pontius Pilate and the making of the movie. The folks that have produced God's Not Dead has optioned the Diaries of Pontius Pilate for a movie. If you go into the archives or if you go right on the Helping Hands Press blog, you'll be able to click on one of the widgets on the sidebar there and listen to Joseph Max Lewis talk about that. And we have a reading sample from C.Q. Scafidi, Giovanni Gelati, The Posse, Volume 2, Walking Dead. The Posse series is a Western that has paranormal elements in it, as well as steampunk and a great deal of military and suspense, of a lot of history, especially with this next one with The Walking Dead, going back into the history of New Orleans. 8:40, there's a post by Pam Horner. It was shared on the Helping Hands Press blog that is on Pam's blog. Has to do with Alzheimer's. I'll let it speak for itself. You have to read it. It's very emotional. Well, tonight's giveaway, Sue and Chelsea. Chelsea, her daughter, helped her a great deal on this, Building Bridges of Hope. That'll be the giveaway for the next 2 weeks. So if you want to read about that, if you haven't heard about it, it's a very interesting coloring activity book for those who either have anything to do with child trauma, kids in need, adoption, foster care. That is all in this coloring activity book. Also, 8:50, Flora Regatta is going to be here on the show on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Flora will be talking about her current project as well as her past projects, including her devotional. That'll be Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The link is right there in the blog post, and also the widget is on the sidebar of the Helping Hands Press blog. So if you want to get a reminder, click on the widget, click the button for the reminder. You'll be able to get that. Or if you can't listen to any of the shows live, you can catch them 24/7 on the archives, and you can just go right to the Helping Hands Press blog, click right on the widgets, and listen in. It's pretty cool. June Foster, she's been on some RV adventures with her husband, and they're crisscrossing the country. If you haven't been keeping up with that, there are the links to the blog posts that she sent in so far from her travels. Pretty interesting read. We have some stats coming up from the Helping Hands Press blog. I just wanted to go to the Facebook page, as folks are on Facebook and Twitter right now, and see Joseph Max Lewis is in the house. And Baxter Campbell. Okay, some stats before we bring Patty in. On the Helping Hands Press blog, thus far, as far as views go, 3,894,621. So the 4 millionth view will probably crop up probably sometime within the next 20 to 30 days on Helping Hands Press blog, which is pretty cool. As far as countries that view the Helping Hands Press blog, the top 10, the USA, Slovakia, Germany, Ireland, France, and to all those in France, our heart goes out to you right now. Very sorry for your troubles. United Arab Emirates, Russia, Brazil, Poland, and coming in at number 10, Denmark. Pretty cool stuff. Just a preview for next week. Not even for next week, for after today. Ann Baxter Campbell's Maybe in Tilly. The black and white edition of that, the one that you can color, will be available tomorrow on Amazon. You should check the Helping Hands Press Facebook, Twitter, and blog for all the pertinent links and all the information on that. Maybe in Tilly right now is available in a colored. It's a full color reading book, but tomorrow it will be available in black and white for you to be able to color in any of the pages. So pretty cool. Also next week, Ann Baxter Campbell's Once Upon Some Holidays will be available in paperback. And coming up next, Helping Hands Press Thursday night party on July 28th, there's going to be a couple new authors introduced with some very, very interesting projects, some very topical. And also, one of them, we're going to be introducing a new coloring book for children, Huggy Duggy. We've been talking about Crystal Casey for a little bit. Everybody's going to get to meet Huggy Duggy on July 28th, and the release of that coloring book will be August 11th, so that'll be pretty cool. The other stuff that's coming out is extremely exciting, so let's see. It's right now it's about 10 after the hour. You're on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Very soon we're going to have Patty J. Smith joining us here. The post for the paperback of... No, I can't do that. Okay. Paperback for Sunrise in Sweetland has just cropped up. So let me go to Amazon for that. Okay, I'm going to type in here. So if you're on Amazon, just put Ann Baxter Campbell. She is the editor of the series, as well as one of the authors. And Sunrise in Sweetland, a complete series, would be the title. A little interesting side note that you'll be able to see in the blog post is that Anne's first story in the series, in the Sunrise and Sweetland, there are five short stories that comprise the series. Her story is a Kindle Unlimited deal right now. So if you are a Kindle Unlimited customer, you can get to read it for free. Otherwise, it's a 99-cent download. As far as what's going on in Sunrise and Sweetland, it's a sleepy little Sweetland is getting ready for Easter, and the excitement of the preparations and distractions are enough to provide a little craziness for your humdrum days. Will and Carly split up within minutes of getting engaged. Celia deals with her large family scattered hither and yon, a sudden critical illness and concern for a foster child with PTSD. Rosine wonders whatever happened to all the spare time she used to have before marrying Mike and adopting four daughters. Nathan grumbles over losing his inheritance, leaving college to take on a menial job as an orderly at the hospital, and his family, or lack thereof. And Mary Ellen worries that her five active children will prove too much for the elderly and aristocratic Virginia Dansforth Livingston Thompson, especially when an enemy of Virginia causes the angst to rise. The author team, they dedicate this collection of Sweetland shorts to our writing sister and friend Karen Kuzman, who had a story planned and underway for this series when she fell ill. We want her to know how much we missed her joining in our chats about the series, writing her imaginative stories and spreading her nature on all of us. We send out good wishes on her behalf, heavenward to our dear Lord and Savior, and we praise God she's on the mend. All right. So things are moving along here. Just going back to the Facebook page. Now, let's see. Reading sample, Wrestling Two Worlds by William David Spencer. William David Spencer has a project on Amazon right now, Name in the Papers, which has won a number of awards. Wrestling Two Worlds is a young adult work of fiction. Very interesting. You get to read the first chapter, plus the introduction, and it's a pretty interesting read. Okay, I talked about just Maxwell's being on the show. Let's see. Flora's coming in on Monday. You can look Flora up on Amazon. Flora, F-L-O-R-A, Regatta, R-E-I-G-A-D-A. Put her in the search bar on Amazon, and you'll be able to find Flora and her projects, which are pretty cool. All right, right now, without further ado, we're going to bring Patty J. Smith in here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. We're simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday night party. And if you're on Facebook or Twitter, I invite you to please engage and have some fun here. Patty, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. It's been a long time since we've chatted, Gio.
Such is life. Hey, you have a new, you're working on the second series in a Grave Obsession series. And the
yes.
first story is, you've been teasing folks with the beginning of it. What do you have
right.
in store for folks? Now, for those of you who don't know, Patty is a multi-genre author. She has released devotionals. She has the Grave Obsession series. And it's quite a diverse group here. So tell everybody what Grave Obsessions is about and what you have going on in the second series.
Grave Obsessions is a series that deals with a woman detective, Dallas Keegan, and her partner, Twyla. And it deals mostly with murder cases, serial killers, or in one case it was a kidnapping back in the first series. And my mind went to some very dark places to come up with some of these ideas, and it's even gotten darker since I started this new one. They're being faced with a killer that they've never seen the likes of before, and trying to track him down is going to be quite a challenge for them. The title of the first volume is called The Precious Garden, which basically just says that there's more than flowers planted in this garden. And the reason that they're planted there is the readers will be quite surprised why. I'm having a lot of fun writing it. And it's almost finished. I kind of took a little bit of a breather for a while. I took a little sabbatical from writing, but I'm back in the saddle again, so I should be done with it probably within a month.
Interesting. Now, last night when I was talking to Joseph Maxillus, near the end of the conversation, I brought up about bad guys. I had a conversation over the holiday July 4th weekend with some folks, and the topic got around to a long-running movie series. I'm not going to mention any, but anyway, I found fault with maybe like the last four or five of them because the bad guys weren't that engaging. They weren't good enough bad guys. They were just, to me, they were one or two-dimensional. They really weren't like back in the old days when you kind of rooted for the bad guy a little bit. Like he was an interesting bad guy, a good bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
In your Grave Obsessions, are any of your bad guys like that, or are they just like really rotten people?
Well, the bad guys that I had in the first series, they were pretty rotten to the core. There was, you know, some issues with Aiden Fredericks, the main bad guy through three of the stories, that, you know, he suffered from a lot of sadness and tragedy in his life, and which, you know, pushed him over the edge. And so he was a little bit, you know, we could be a little bit sympathetic towards him a little bit, but not after what he did to his poor victims. This guy is, I'm going to put a little bit of a twist on him. And I'm hoping that, I'm going to twist him.
Nice.
He's going to, totally macabre type of character. And I'm gonna try to keep the reader guessing.
Interesting. Now, do you have the series plotted out, or just or outlined, or just the first one?
My mind is always racing, Gio. You know that, and I've got story ideas listed already for the next couple volumes coming up. I don't know which ones will come to fruition or not, because I keep changing my mind. But, you know, as I'm writing this book, you know, ideas pop into my head, and I can't put it all in one volume, you know, so I kind of, you know, copy and paste and put it on another piece of paper and save it for another volume. because it's just, you know, you can't put too much in with, you know, when we're doing short stories. I mean, if I wanted to do a novel-sized book on this one, yeah, I could do it that way, but I'd rather do the short stories.
Nice. Now, everybody, you're listening on to the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. My guest right now is Patty J. Smith. We're simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party. So if you're on Facebook or Twitter, please join in. Patty, when you were putting together Grave Obsessions, why female for the lead character? What prompted you to do that?
I just wanted to. It wasn't even a conscious decision. It just happened, you know. And I wanted to, you know, have somebody, you know, that was, you know, portrayed strength in a woman, and the fact that, you know, in the good versus evil, you know, faith struggling person, and I just envisioned that character being woman from day one. And I kind of like the idea of, you know, female detectives. And I think sometimes they bring a lot more to a story.
I can agree with that in some ways, definitely. So what is her, what are her major strong attributes? What have you imbued her with?
I've imbued her with, she's very analytical. She can, she's really good at analyzing situations. She's really dedicated to the job, and she is dedicated to her partner. You know, they get along very well, and they've got each other's backs. And she's got some flaws, obviously, and you know, she's struggling with her face. She's totally disorganized, but it doesn't take away from the insight that she has when she's working on the cases. You know, and she really sympathizes with the victims.
So you have a crime, suspense, thriller, female sleuth story. How is it that you weave the inspirational, spiritual elements into that type of story? Is that something you find to be difficult, or is it just part of the character?
No, I think it's common. I think it's always going to be there, because whenever there's good and evil, you know, going off against each other, you know, faith comes into it, you know, and that's... When you're faced with a lot of, you know, devastation or tragedy, you know, that's what brings out, you know, that's kind of like a make it or break it type thing, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, show that, you know, your faith can get you through anything. And so it's easy to put it through there, because it's, well, of course, you know, because I, you know, I'm a very, you know, faithful Catholic, you know, and I have, a, you know, a strong faith base, it's not hard for me to see it in there. And I'm just hoping that it's there for the, if the readers can pick that out. I don't want to be preachy in these books, because, you know, that's not what the book is there for. It is to entertain, but I also want to kind of plant the seed as well. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Definitely. You want it to be organic, and you want folks to be able to take it in without feeling like they got smacked over the head with it. You want it to be woven into the fabric of the story. You want it to be seamless.
Right.
Nice. Now, segueing from that, you're doing a lot of work and have been doing a lot of work, especially mentioning your Redeemed title.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes on Amazon, you can find Redeemed Rosary Meditation for Post-Abortive Women. You have been going all over the country supporting these causes, and not only that, you've been on TV a few times.
Yes. Yeah, I was lucky to be one of those people in the blizzard in Washington, D.C. in January. And I was blessed to be able to speak at the March for Life, and there was about 400,000 people there. And then I was also pulled off to the side and interviewed on EWTN prior to my giving testimony, and which was just it was an experience, because I wasn't prepared for that. I didn't think I was going to be on, you know, interviewed on television. It was just one of those spur of the moment things. But it was an interesting experience being back there. I'd never been to the March for Life before, and especially with all that snow. But we still had a lot of people there considering the weather. They wanted to, you know, the D.C. wanted to shut down the march, but they didn't because there were so many people that showed up. They just couldn't do it. So the march went on, and then I just got back from Dallas a few weeks ago. I was at a pro-life women's conference. It was the first ever pro-life women's conference, and for the first time we had 750 women there, which was absolutely amazing. And
wow.
I'm heading up to Pasadena next weekend for the pro-life, Californians Pro-Life Summit. And one of the documentaries that was just released, it's called Hush. I have a part of my testimony is in that documentary, and they're going to be previewing that at the summit. And it was filmed and it was put together in Canada and by a Canadian film company. And then, of course, the Sidewalk Chronicles is another documentary that was televised on EWTN, and it's on YouTube now as well. And I was also interviewed for that documentary as well. So I've been busy.
Do you have people get you ready for that? I mean, do you have, like, a whole crew work you over? No?
Nope. Okay. They set up when they did the Sidewalk Chronicles, they came in and, you know, kind of rearranged our furniture in the living room a little bit and got rid of the parrot so he wouldn't screech while I was being interviewed. But they didn't give us any idea of what they wanted us to say or anything. It was all ad lib. And which made it, you know, would nerve wracking, but I think it made it more I think it's better to do it that way other than being scripted. And
yeah, it's not canned.
It's not canned, you know, it was all true emotion. And because the pro-life is so important to me, you know, in all aspects, that, you know, it's been really wonderful being able to go around and do all these things. I've been so blessed. And, you know, my husband is, you know, staying home and caring for my uncle while I'm, you know, doing the traveling. And, you know, that's been a blessing as well. And so my husband and I are taking off for Palm Springs this coming weekend and for a little R&R. Just he and I, and my son's here to help on the home front. So,
very nice. When they moved your furniture, did they vacuum?
No, unfortunately not.
No,
they didn't. I vacuumed before they got here. So in case, you know, I didn't want them to see the dust in the corners. But it was really, it was an experience.
Did you find anything interesting?
You know, no. I got everything all picked up before they got there. But it was fun.
Yeah,
it was
grandsons, every time I move the sofa, it's like, you know, some kind of an archive. I get to find different stuff that they shoved under there. It's always fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you never know what you're going to find under their beds or, yeah, it's a scary thing. It can be.
Most of your devotionals have a theme. Embrace the Morning, Rosary Meditations to Calm the Storm. We mentioned Redeemed, which is Rosary Meditations for post-abortive women. Behind the Smile, Overcoming Depression Through Scripture and Prayer. Journey to Sunset, Rosary Meditations for Caregivers. If anybody wants to, you can go to Amazon and put in Patty J. Smith, and you'll be able to find Patty and see her titles and her bio, and she has all her links, her blog, which she is a very busy blogger. Your Goodreads, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. You have all those interesting things. So if anybody's on Amazon or wants to go, please take a look at what Patty has. You also, do you have any new devotionals that you're thinking of, or do you want? Are you going to do a devotional in the future that does not revolve around a theme, just more of a generic everyday life type thing?
I haven't really worked on anything like that. I'm still trying to finish up the one on grief, and it's a personalized scripture for those that are grieving. And I'm going to also write a devotional for post-abortive men, because they, you know, men suffer as well as women do, and, you know, the loss of their child. And so I'm also, I've got an outline for that. And so I might be starting that pretty soon. As soon as I finish up Grave Obsessions, I'll switch back to the devotional mode. And because I really think that's an important thing to have out there. So
interesting. Now, when you do retreats and stuff like that for women, does that come up in conversation about the men?
Yeah, it does. Most of the, when the women come through our retreats, they, you know, they do talk about, you know, how it has affected, you know, the father. And we have found through the Silent No More Awareness campaign, they have an initiative out there that started a year and a half ago called the Shockwaves of Abortion. And it addresses everybody that's affected by the abortion decision. And it's not just the woman. It's the father. It's the parents, you know, or the grandparents, I should say, the siblings, the friends. You know, it affects everybody involved. And we're trying to reach out to everyone that's been hurt, you know, by having programs and resources for them to go to kind of heal from their part of the abortion experience. And it's been very, very successful thus far. You know, we've been able to reach out to a lot of people, and it's amazing the stories you can read on silentnomore.com. There's testimonies from siblings that have found out, you know, that their mother had aborted a child, or, you know, or of a father that his girlfriend gave, you know, had an abortion and didn't even let him be part of the decision, or a man that decided that he convinced his girlfriend to get an abortion, he felt bad or whatever. You know, all these people are hurt by the decision, and it's interesting to hear their viewpoint or read their viewpoint. And all their testimonies are on the website, and it's amazing, you know, how deep this goes, the pain goes, and how far it spreads.
Do you do this on an individual basis during the retreats, or do you talk to the participants in a group setting, or you do both?
Our retreats are the ones that I have in Escondido are at a former convent, in fact, and we normally have no more than six women at a time. So it's in a group setting, but it's an overnight thing. They're there Friday night and Saturday night, and we're there 24/7. So if they're, you know, if they're struggling, you know, through the program or having issues, we're 24/7, so we can help them one-on-one as well. You know, and there are times when we have had to, you know, if somebody's been having a problem with something, even during the retreat, we can, you know, take a break and go and do one-on-one counseling just for a bit, you know, and help them through any crisis moments. But it is a small group setting, and which seems to work a lot better, because this is, you know, it's a real sensitive issue, and, you know, and it's real private. You know, it's a secret that hasn't been shared for a lot of these women. And so it's better for them to have a smaller group.
It's pretty intense.
So, yeah. And, I mean, I'm exhausted by the time I come home, because, I mean, I heal every time I facilitate a retreat. You know, because the healing process is continuous. And seeing, you know, and seeing that the darkness lifted from these women by the end of the retreat, you know, it's joyous for me, but it's all very emotional.
I would have to say it's going to be very draining.
Yeah, but you know what? It's well worth it just to see the light, you know, and see these women come out of there feeling better about themselves, you know, and feeling whole again.
Well, that's quite a ministry you're involved in.
I love it. And hopefully one of these days we won't need them anymore. That's my hope anyway.
Nice. Very nice. I'm glad that you're doing well with it, and it's really a fulfilling type thing. What have you, just on a lighter note, have you had time to read anything lately?
I just finished reading The Astronaut's Wives Club. And it came out a long time ago, but it talks about how starting with the Mercury seven wives, all the way up until the Apollo. And it was interesting to hear, you know, their side of the story, you know, what had happened in their lives while they were, you know, their husbands were doing the space thing. And it was just, you know, it wasn't a real heavy read, but it was interesting. And because I just watched
the
right stuff.
Does it shock you the place women had back then?
No,
does it make you
because
chuckle?
I was back there back then. So, I mean, I was a little bit younger, obviously. I was in high school. But, you know, they were all told to smile and wear nice dresses and make sure that their husbands were cooked a very good breakfast every morning and not to be given any stress and at all. And they had to do all the chores around the house. Their husbands weren't allowed to do any of that because it would stress them out before their missions. And, oh, yeah, it was amazing what they had to go through.
Every time we watch an older movie and some of that stuff's on, I pointed out to my daughters and they just look at me and it's like, yeah, I know. If anybody said that to you now, you'd probably just poke them in the head, you know, just the way it is.
Absolutely. Cook him what?
Exactly. Yeah, tell him to nuke it. Put that hot pocket in. No, the other thing that makes me laugh
you
is
got
like,
it. Get out there and mow that lawn.
Phone. Yeah, the phone's connected to a cord and it's on the wall and they got to use the rotary, you know. You're like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a phone. It's a phone, kid. There only used to be one and a half.
I remember getting tangled up in those cords.
Yeah.
I remember the old party lines,
just,
too.
Right, and if nobody wanted to answer it, they didn't answer it. And there wasn't an answer machine. We're eating dinner.
Nope.
No need to answer. That still
burns me to
the
day. And there was no call waiting, either.
That's right. If somebody's got a cell phone at the table, I get a little tick. So I'm old school like that. And if you're going to sit down and eat with people, no texting, no phone, to try to enjoy each other for a little bit. I think that some of that stuff's lost on them today. And
I think it's a shame.
But, yeah. Do you have anything like that in your writing? You have any throwback old school stuff every so often in there?
No,
does your
investigator
use
anyway.
Any older techniques, even though so many newfangled things are available to her today?
No, I haven't really used any of the old stuff, but that's a good idea, Gio. Thank you. I'm going to make note of that.
Oh, no, I just, sometimes, you know, you got to, I watch, what are some of the stuff that I watch? I got stuck, my son got me hooked on Blue Blood, the thing with Tom Selleck and Donnie Wahlberg and that. I've been catching up on that, but I to this day, I have not seen a CSI episode. I don't know why.
I've only watched a few CSIs. I like the Criminal Minds.
I've not seen that either. I think the only thing I watch on CBS is Big Bang Theory, and I watched Scorpion for a little bit, but then that got just too odd for me, so I stopped watching. I know there was a. I think it's called Murder in the First on TNT. I watch it. It's on season 3 right now. I think it's on Sunday nights on TNT, set in San Francisco. It wasn't a bad show. I binged the first 2 seasons, and I'm starting season 3. I guess they're in on like the 3rd show. It's not too bad.
I'm an ID addict. I like the ID channel.
I'm sorry. What channel?
The ID channel.
I probably get it, but I haven't seen it. Was it? They have mostly
detective shows on there? Yeah, it's Investigation Discovery. It has all sorts of crime dramas, and or not dramas, but real crime and stuff like that. It's really good. They have a lot of good series.
I made the kids watch the first Columbo episode. They're actually interested in it.
That's classic.
Yeah. I also made them in the same way watch the first Mr. Ed. Yeah, I made him watch Mr. Ed afterwards. First one, that put him to sleep.
Oh my
god. That was
word.
Fun though.
Oh yeah, those old ones are a lot of fun. I liked Quincy.
No, I've never seen
Did
Quincy.
Did you ever watch that? He was a medical
no,
examiner.
No, I never saw Quincy.
The Jack Klugman?
What was the,
oh yeah.
I love Jack Klugman. I used to watch The Odd Couple. What's the one with Dick Van Dyke? What was that one? Dick Van Dyke was like
word.
It was kind of like Quincy. I think he, I think they're running against each other, or maybe they're on the same channel. But he was he was the same kind of guy,
I
right?
I can't remember. Yeah. There was a lot of good ones back then. But I can't remember what the name of that series was.
I saw a little of the Rockford Files. This stuff's popping up on Hulu. The Mork and Mindy and Alf just popped up, so I had to watch one or two of them. I'm a sucker for Alf and Mork and Mindy. I can't help it.
Oh, I loved Mork and Mindy. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, Robin Williams used to make me laugh. I love that guy.
Oh,
I'm I want to check out that channel you mentioned. I think that's pretty cool. All right. Any final thoughts? You got anything else that I haven't asked you today that I should have?
I think we've caught up on almost everything. We didn't talk football, and that's good because I haven't had a chance to really keep up with what's going on with the Seahawks. So I'm going to have to take a day and do some really heavy reading on it to find out where they are, and because fantasy's coming up quickly, so I'm going to have to get my roster ready.
The Eagles do have the worst rated coach in the NFL right now. You know that, right? I feel for this man. They're chewing him apart, and he hasn't done anything yet. So I think the team's pretty solid.
Well, I think it's going to be a good year for them. It's Seahawks are looking really good as far as the players that they've got, and hopefully they'll bounce back. But we'll just have to see. I was kind of disappointed that they're not playing the Chargers this year because normally about every 3 or 4 years they'll play the Chargers, and that's something my husband and I always like to do. But they're not going to be playing them this year again. So, but that's okay. But I can hardly wait for the season to start. It's been
long summer. Have you seen the series on Amazon about the Arizona Cardinals?
No, uh-uh.
Awesome. You should check it out.
Is it?
Yeah, it was about
I'll
the last season with the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, they talked about the Seahawks quite a bit. It was a very interesting series. I think it's 6 shows. They're about an hour apiece. It's Amazon in conjunction with the NFL. Yeah, they were in the locker room, the whole nine yards. Everybody was mic'd. It was pretty cool. I think I still have a half hour left of the last show. But I enjoyed it. They were very nice to the Eagles. The Cardinals pasted the Eagles last year pretty bad. And they probably could have done that up a bit more, but they kind of glossed over it real quick, which was nice. But awesome series. I'm looking forward to a very interesting year. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Today Forbes came out with their top sports franchises, and it was the first time that a non-soccer team was number one. It was the Cowboys were the number one rated sports franchise in the world.
What?
Which was pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Money-wise,
I feel like they're valued $3.7 or $3.4 billion, something like that. And the Eagles were like number somewhere in the 20s. I think they're listed at $2.7
billion. Huh.
I know when Lori bought it, he bought it for like nothing from Leonard Toews because Toews was up to his ears in debt with gambling in Atlantic City. I think he might have bought it for six figures, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the Cowboys, that doesn't surprise me money-wise at all, but, but they don't really have a lot of, I mean, they have some talent on their team, but they're not the team they used to be, as far as playing goes.
No, it's the stadium.
It's just
it has to do with the stadium.
Yeah, stadium and everything,
and
yeah. We're still hoping the Chargers
nice
are going to get a stadium.
Like
we don't know yet. Seahawks stadium's awesome.
It looks pretty neat. I like the way it's set up.
Yeah,
but
it's really
there, right?
It's really nice. Yeah, my husband and I flew up there for a Chargers Seahawks game about 5 years ago, and we had awesome seats. And it's just a really well put together stadium. But I'm still kind of surprised that they didn't have a dome on it, because of the weather. But they don't.
Okay.
But that's okay.
I hope your fantasy picks go well. I played last year with some family members, and I kind of came in the middle of the pack this year, though. I think I'll have a different strategy because I didn't know really how to play.
Yeah, it takes time to get the gist of it, but I'm, you know, after last year, I sunk really low last year, and so I'm due for a good season, and so I'm gonna really do a lot of research and get my lineup early, so I know what I'm doing and not wait until the last minute like I did last year, because that's what caused the problems. So then
well,
I think I'll do good. We'll have to have a bet.
Famous last words. Talk to me week 12.
Especially you got
if
it.
Your team is in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Patty J. Smith, I want to thank you so much for being on with us tonight. It was very nice of you, and it was great talking to you again.
Well, thanks to you. It was good talking to you, and let's not wait for another 9 or 10 months this time.
No problem at all. I hope you have a very
okay.
nice evening. Everybody.
Okay, you
Patty
too, my
J.
dear.
Smith,
bye-bye.
Author of Grave Obsessions, Moments with God, Redeemed. She is part of the author team of the San Francisco Wedding Planner and many other stories and devotionals. Just go to Amazon, put in Patty J. Smith. Her work's also available on Barnes & Noble and Kobo. Right now, we are simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, please join in the fun. Things that have gone on since we're talking to Patty, Pam Horner's post just popped up a few minutes ago. Now Sue and Chelsea Badeau's giveaway for Building Bridges of Hope. All you got to do to win this book, to be in contention to win, is go to the Helping Hands Press blog, go to the bottom of the post, and leave a comment or go to the contact on the sidebar. They have a contact widget. Just fill it out there, send it in, and you'll be in the running to win this activity coloring book that has to do with adoption, foster care, children in crisis. It's pretty interesting. Let's recap the evening. Patty was nice enough to start everybody off by sharing the opening prayer. There was a post up for Larry Peterson, the priest in the peaches. He's gotten over 50 reviews for that thus far, and it's a handful of the reviews what folks are saying about it. Very interesting, very heartfelt reviews for Larry. Congratulations on that. The Sunrise in Sweetland author team has just released the paperback, Sunrise in Sweetland, a complete series. Ann Baxter Campbell is the editor on that. She also wrote the first story. And just as a side note, Ann's story, Volume 1, is an Amazon Kindle Unlimited deal. If you're a Kindle Unlimited customer on Amazon, you can read Ann's short story for free. Just go ahead and download it. If not, it's a 99-cent download on a short story. Tony Hilling, the cover for Volume 7 in his series, The Voice of Ada Stamen, The Council of 12, was just shown this evening or revealed this evening, as well as the synopsis. A little later next week on the Helping Hands Press blog, and also be on Facebook and Twitter and other places, you'll be able to see a reading sample, get to read the beginning of The Council of 12, which is Volume 7 in Tony's series. The other stories in the series, Volumes 1 through 6, there are reading samples on the Helping Hands Press blog. All you need to do is go into the archives on the HHP sidebar there, the blog sidebar, and go ahead and take a look at them. Very interesting. Tony's series, The Voice of Ada Stamen, is a biblical fantasy. It's a fantasy. It's inspirational romance, thriller, suspense, historical. Has an incredible message behind it. We're going to have Tony on the show in the near future. Once we work out a date with Tony, he's going to be here talking about, here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network, discussing The Voice of Ada Stamen and the different things that he did with it. It's a very nice series. So if you get a chance, take a look at it. Volume 1 is a Kindle Unlimited deal. You can try Tony's Volume 1 of The Voice of Ada Stamen free if you are a Kindle Unlimited customer. If not, it is a 99-cent story. Okay. Patty J. Smith was our guest this evening. If you or just catching us on the archive. She came in at about 15-minute mark of the show. Reading sample for William David Spencer. Dr. Spencer has just finished Wrestling Two Worlds, which is a young adult inspirational novel that will be coming out in August. The very beginning of it, the introduction, first chapter, is up for you to read on Helping Hands Press blog. It is up on Facebook right now. Please, if you do read it, you read any of the reading samples, the Helping Hands Press authors, would love your feedback, what you think about it, and what you do and don't like about it. They really would like to hear from folks what it is that you enjoy as a reader. And what you like about their work or don't. Okay. Also, Joseph Max Lewis. He was here. He's an author of Diaries of Pontius Pilate, The Diaries of Pontius Pilate. Also, Separation of Church and State, Baghdad Burning. We were talking at the beginning of the conversation with Joseph Max Lewis yesterday about The Diaries of Pontius Pilate. It's been optioned for a movie by the folks who have made God's Not Dead and God's Not Dead 2. If you want to listen to the conversation, you can either click on the link that popped up at 8:30 here on Facebook and Twitter, or if you're on the Helping Hands Press blog, there is a widget on the sidebar. You can listen in on that. Also, on the HHP sidebar, something I haven't mentioned this evening, all up and down it, there are the covers of a number of the books from the Helping Hands Press author community. You can click right on those book covers, go to Amazon, and read a sample of that story free, especially the Diaries of Pontius Pilate. Say, if you enjoy that right now, that is a Kindle Unlimited deal. It is a full-length novel, and you can get that for free if you're a Kindle Unlimited customer. Or right now, because of the promotion with the movie, Joseph Max Lewis wants to thank his readers. It is a 99-cent download for the novel. This is a highly, highly reviewed story. Joseph Max, we were talking yesterday. He has, I believe, 64 reviews on Amazon, and he said almost 200 on Goodreads. That's a large amount of reviews. It's an awesome book, so novel. It is a thriller, suspense, espionage, military. It's got some history in it because it does have to do with archaeology and Pontius Pilate. Please, listen to the conversation. Listen to Joseph Maxwell's talk about the novel itself, what spurred him on to write it, about the characters, the whole nine yards. And if you want, pick up the novel and go ahead and enjoy it. It's a very nice read. Moves along quickly. Very good thriller. Suspense. Reading sample from The Posse. The Posse is a Western suspense, military espionage, steampunk type thing. Has to do with some folks from West Point out there in the Wild West trying to clean things up. It's pretty cool. The first two stories, Visions was the first one. The second one is Walking Dead. Is set in and around New Orleans. That will probably be moving on after that. But right now, the story is set in New Orleans. C.Q. Scafidi, Giovanni Gelati, Cindy Cope was part of the first story. That is all. It is a Kindle Unlimited deal. Volume 1 sold, Volume 2 be. If you want to read the beginning of it, you're more than welcome to. That post popped up at 8:35. You should be able to find it on Facebook, Twitter, or on the HHP blog. Pam Horner's blog post at 8:40. It's a very emotional read. Going back through June, we were talking about Alzheimer's awareness, folks wearing purple, and it's a very poignant blog post. Strikes right to the heart. If you know anybody with dementia, and anyone who has either been a caregiver or something to do around the periphery of that, it is a very nice read. Okay, the giveaway this for the next 2 weeks, from now until the next Thursday night party, which will be July 28th, We will be simulcasting it here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network, July 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And just as a preview, Big Jim Williams will be with us on that broadcast. Big Jim is the author of Cattle Drive and also Jake Silverhorn's Revenge, Cattle Drive. Won an award for his novel from the Western Fictioneers. He'll be talking about that when we meet again July 28th for the Helping Hands Press Thursday night party. Sue Badeau's and Chelsea's, her daughter Chelsea Badeau's Building Bridges of Hope, that is a giveaway. Let's see. Oh, what just popped up right now, because we're almost caught up, is Flora Regatta. Flora's going to be with us here on Inspirational Talk Radio Network on Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be talking about Love's Sweetest Revenge, her new project, and also her devotional. Flora's very interesting, has some really nice stuff. Her fiction work is historical, inspired romance, suspense, historical. She also has a devotional, very well written work. You can also read, if you want, the beginning of Flora's new story, which is on the HHP blog. You have to go through the archives, I believe, maybe from June or July. Not really sure. One of those 2 months, you'll be able to find Flora's reading sample and also the covers that she's choosing from. But right now, I would say, for the most part, they're all leaning toward the black and white photo with the bride and groom's feet. Okay. And coming up, should be up right now, June Foster. She is part of the author team of Sunrise in Sweetland. She's out on an RV adventure with her husband. They're crisscrossing the country. If you haven't been keeping up with that, you can click on the link there, go to the blog, the HHP blog, and you'll be able to get the links to the first couple of her blog posts talking about her adventures so far in the RV. June is the author of Misty Hollow, which is an inspired romance story. Has to do some of the other elements of it have to do with literacy. One character is a farmer, which is pretty interesting. And it's a very nice, heartfelt romance, sweet romance, inspired romance. So if you're looking for something wonderful to read and you enjoy romance, please try out June Foster's Misty Hollow. And pretty soon we're almost calling it an end to the day. So going through the recap, shout outs right now to Ann Baxter Campbell. Look tomorrow on the HHP blog, also on Facebook, Twitter, StumbleUpon, many other places where Helping Hands Press puts their stuff. Maybe in Tilly, the black and white version of Maybe in Tilly will be up for sale. And it's a wonderful coloring book. Maybe in Tilly's very nice adventure of a dog and a cat. Right now you can purchase the full color version, but there will be a black and white one so you can color it in yourself. Okay, also next week, Ann Baxter Campbell's Once Upon Some Holidays will be available in paperback. It is currently an ebook. Tony Hilling, there'll be a reading sample from Tony Hilling for his Volume 7, The Council of 12. And everybody's going to get to meet Crystal Casey's Huggy Duggy. And in August, August 11th, that coloring book will be released. And for the next party, so the next Helping Hands Press Thursday party, which will be on July 28th at 8 p.m., there's going to be a few new authors at Helping Hands Press community announced and introduced, and what their incredible stories are going to be about. They have some very interesting projects going on. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Please, if you want to help someone find a new author to them, point them to the Helping Hands Press author community. Have them go by the Helping Hands Press blog. Check out some of the blog posts and some of the authors there, and find a new author to you. I hope everyone has a good night, an excellent weekend, and we will see you on Monday as Flora Regatta comes in with us on 10 a.m. Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.